Hey everyone, welcome to the back porch. Today is Monday, December 9th, and I am so glad you joined me today. On this week's episode, I had a great conversation with a woman who has been through more than most of us. She has an incredible story that needs to be heard. We talk about her cancer diagnosis, mothering through it, and how she has changed through it all. So grab a cup of coffee and stay tuned. Please welcome to the back porch, Jess Reedstrom. Welcome to the back porch, Jess.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here and you decided to join me. We are sitting at Jess's table in her cute little house. I love it. It's not even little. I don't know why I keep saying that. It's just cozy. That's the word. It's cozy. And this is your space. This is where you're most comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is where you spend most of your time. Mm-hmm. So it's so fun. So basically how I know Jess is just to tell the listeners, I met you through my sister, Heather. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Heather, Davey.
Everyone knows her.
Follow her. Photographer in town, no problem. We didn't really know each other in high school. We're only like 3 years apart. Mm-hmm. So other than that, we just kind of follow each other on Facebook. Like It's just one of those, we're in the same town, see each other at church. Kids. Yep, exactly. Look at each other's kids. You see, you've got four kids. How old are they again?
They are Allie's 9, Evan is 7, Noah's 6, and Rory's 3.
Okay. And they're all in, is Rory just at preschool?
Yep.
Okay. So they're all in school.
Yep.
Part of most of the day.
Yep.
The week. Is Rory all day?
He's half days.
He's half days. Okay, cool. Well, so then you still have your baby at home.
Well, Heather has him some of the time.
Too. I know. I saw that. She's so great. So you've got four kids. You got a husband.
Mm-hmm. Kyle.
Kyle. And you are a stay-at-home mom.
Yep.
And you're loving it.
Yep.
And it's been a blessing for you, mm-hmm. really, if you think about it, like that you didn't have to have a job. Because did you have a job
at all? Not since kids.
Since kids. Okay. So as I was wondering, just because you just don't know. But What did you do before you had kids?
I had kids really young. I was 22.
Oh, okay.
So I worked in a daycare when I was pregnant with Allie. And before that, just like retail.
Yeah.
I went to school.
Huh. That's cool. Whatever. I mean,
no
22
career.
Is young. No career. Yeah. You know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
I think moms are meant to be at home with their kids, to be honest. But okay. So we're going to talk about your story of getting diagnosed with cancer at, you'll have to remind me how old you were.
First time. I was 29.
Oh, God. That is like, do you still like have those, I can't believe I have cancer moments?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm talking about like, who am I talking about?
Yeah.
Who's this person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're 29 and it was breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So walk me through the story of how you found out and everything.
So Rory was a baby. He was like 7 months old and I was nursing him, and it was really weird because it was actually the day that we put our dog down, our like first baby.
Right.
Our Sheltie Phoebe had thyroid cancer and we put her down. And then that night I was nursing Rory and I just felt a lump.
Okay.
And then I thought, okay, that might be weird. I don't know. You know, maybe it's something with nursing.
Clogged duck or
yeah, something
whatever.
Like milk. Who knows? And then I didn't have any like mastitis symptoms. So then I kept like, okay, I'm just going to think about it. And then he ended up having like blood in his diaper that was like from me feeding him and things like that. And I have friends that, you know, I told these things to, and they all kind of like, that's not normal and things like that.
Yeah.
And so ended up talking to my doctor, and then, you know, even the radiologist didn't think that it would be cancer because he was like, you're so young, you know, and I was like, I know that, but I've nursed 3 other babies. Like, I know it's not mastitis. Something was weird. I must have like known without really knowing. So then, and it was just like a big lump, and then I made every friend feel it once I found out. Like, this is what it could feel like, you know, that kind of thing. But then, so then it was just like, that was on November 11th of 2016. So it was like, boom, 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 like the holidays and everything.
Wow.
Like, things started like right away then.
So you started chemo immediately?
Pretty close. I like went up to the cities and got like, you know, like met with like surgical oncologists, and then in town, I ended up, like, I had to get a port.
Okay.
So I did that. I remember it was December 1st. Mm-hmm. And then December 2nd, I started chemo.
Jeez.
So then it was like.
From there, when were you, and then you, and then it was gone. What, when did that happen? When it was.
So then I did chemo through April.
Okay.
And then I had a mastectomy, like bilateral, May 11th, exactly 6 months. So then they called it cancer-free. They had clear margins.
Yeah.
All of it was gone. And it was, like, really exciting and everything. You know, like, I still had to do radiation and reconstruction and all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like it was done, but it was, like, a happy, you know, like, oh, it's gone kind of feeling. But then it was, like, just over, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that cancer part. Like, I didn't have to think about that anymore.
It wasn't in your head all the time thinking about
Yeah.
dying or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like,
so that was stage three.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was like a stage or grade three tumor. So it was big and it was, I mean, not good, but it was one of those things where it's like, well, how would I have caught it any sooner? You know, like feeding a baby. You just don't realize it.
And I don't, I'm sorry. I don't just feel my breasts randomly. Like now I probably should.
Probably should.
Yeah. But just telling my mom, I'm like, I probably should start going in and getting checked. She's like, they won't let you unless you, she said something like, they won't let you unless you, they ask you to. Is there something like that?
Like if there's some reason.
Or if there's
maybe
a reason. Because I think she started at like 40 because of her sister had breast cancer. You know, Sonia.
Yeah.
Your breast friend.
My breastie.
I love her. Yeah, exactly. So I didn't know if that was like a thing. Because I was like, mom, I mean, it's in our family. Mm-hmm. So like, wouldn't be a bad thing to go start.
Yeah. But, and I have like the genetic mutation, which I didn't know before.
So
I have the BRCA2 mutation, which I don't know. Nobody else in my family has gotten tested, which I wish other people would.
Oh, boy.
But no.
Hello, business family.
Listen. Yeah, nobody else has gotten tested, so I don't know if anyone else has it or not.
Got like the BRCA gene or something? Okay. BRCA.
So I always tell people it's like what Angelina Jolie had.
Right.
So then she like did an elective mastectomy and stuff like that. So I did like, I had a full hysterectomy and everything like that to like get everything out that they could.
So, okay. So you're cancer free in May 2017.
Yeah.
And then, okay. So then you had a mastectomy. So everything, so you got reconstruction.
Yeah. I had like an implant and then they did like the type where they take like your tummy and like construct a breast out of it, which was a lot more,
healing
recovery and stuff like that, which wasn't fun, but I had an infection, so they couldn't do an implant on this side.
Okay.
But, so then it was, after all that, it was done.
Right.
I thought.
You thought.
Yeah.
And then, so what was like when you think back in that first, those 6 months of like really hard things happening in your life, how was that at home with your kids and your husband?
I think one of the hard things for my kids was that I was bald. I lost my hair like within 2 weeks of starting chemo. So that was hard, you know, like for my little kids at that point, they were all 6 and under.
Yeah.
So just seeing mommy bald was hard, you know, and they all kind of had their different ways of acting out. Like Evan was at 5 C's at that time and everybody was like so amazing. And like, he got tons of attention and Noah was in little C's, but he was just so little. He didn't really get it, but Evan got tons of like extra love and stuff like that. But Allie was in first grade. So it was like real school and stuff. And so she would just kind of have random, like sad feelings, but it wasn't really like, it was more like we would read the books and like talk like, why did this happen and stuff.
Okay.
And we don't know why, we just have to, you know, be positive and blah, blah, blah. But I knew that like April 14th was always like the date in my head. Like, okay, I got to make it to this date. So I didn't want to get sick. I didn't want to miss any chemos. Mm. Like I didn't want to possibly get germs that I didn't need to. And so I didn't leave the house a lot and I stayed home a whole lot.
Okay.
Which I luckily am a homebody, so I was okay with it for the most part. But, you know, sometimes I would, like, be bummed out that I was missing stuff that was going on and stuff. But
well, you're in your 20s.
Yeah. But I mostly, like, felt physically okay, like, except for, like, right after chemos or after surgeries and stuff. But I didn't have, like, general pain with that cancer. So it was like just kind of.
Well, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, hung out.
Nice.
But it was like I couldn't really ever get like a project done. Like my brain had a lot going on. Like how do we, you know, compartmentalize that? You know, like it's just a hard thing to forget that for a minute and do this, you know, kind of thing. So
how do you not focus on what's happening in your body?
Yeah, without like making every moment depressing.
Was Kyle like, how was it when you guys found out together?
So it actually, what happened was my doctor was out of town and so she had to call me. And so luckily my best friend Anna was there with me and Rory, and because I had had the biopsy done, so I wasn't supposed to lift him. And so she was there like helping me, but, so I had someone there when my doctor called, but I think that she was in shock too. My doctor, she was like, how's it going? Like, is Kyle at work?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down and stuff like that?
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. And she told me, you know, like, okay. And then, but then right away it was like, let's action mode. Like, let's do this, this, this. Do you want to go to the cities or Rochester? What do you want to do? And and then I waited until, until Kyle was done with work and then told him afterward. And it was a Friday and he was like in shock basically.
Yeah.
And so we took the weekend to be in shock. And, I think his parents took the kids overnight, if I remember right. So that we just had like a little while to, like,
process
and absorb like what had happened. And I told my parents and everybody, and it was just like surreal, I think.
Like how do you bring that up?
Yeah, like who are we talking about? But I had told my dad, who was in Florida, like living there, that I was having the biopsy, so it wasn't like a complete shock, like, wait, what, you know, like you didn't even tell me that that was happening. But so he knew, but he was pretty shocked, and my mom too.
Right.
Because I was so young.
Right.
And I seemed healthy, you know, like I was, I've always been actually really healthy besides the cancer. That's what I always say.
Right.
Great blood pressure, everything, just not the cancer.
Yeah. Just that.
Yeah. Just that one thing. But, okay. Yeah. And it was just like a lot of like, and like basically immediately we had tons of people reach out and want to help and, like get donated breast milk and a meal train and all that kind of stuff like happened right away. And I was
people come out of the woodworks
overwhelmed. Like a lot of stuff, which is just, you know, like people want to help. So
that is so cool though. But like, that's what I've noticed with this is the community has like really come together, especially we can go into like the second time now. So you had, when did you find out about this? Was it the summer?
So it was August. And it was one of those things where, like, all summer long I had had, like, back pain and stuff like that. But I thought it was due to a medication that I was on that was supposed to, like, keep the cancer away. So then I was complaining about it so much that finally my doctor was like, well, let's take a break with it. Like, we'll try a month without it. And then it got really bad. So I think it was trying to keep the cancer away. But then it got like really bad pain, like back pain, bone pain all over, that kind of stuff. And I was like, what the heck is this? So then I ended up getting like lumps up by my like collarbone. And so then when that happened, I was like, well, this is not normal at all. Like I've never had that before.
Right.
So I went in and did, I don't know if I saw, of course, all my doctors are always gone at the times when things happen, but I did just some like scan, some like x-rays and that kind of stuff right away. But then my oncologist had me do a biopsy, and really I thought that with a mastectomy, I'd have no breast tissue left, but there was enough breast tissue for a biopsy.
Wow.
So I had one done, and it was the same radiologist that I had the first time.
Okay.
And I wasn't a big fan of him.
Okay.
But when he walked in the door, I was like, you know what? We're just going to let it go. Like there's not enough time in life to have these harbor feelings that are, you know, he had no idea like who I was anymore.
Okay.
You know, like he forgot, but, I just was like, okay. But, then they just had to get like a sample cause they pretty much knew already, but, because my doctor came in, then he was like, well, this is really not good. Like right away he said, it's he's not one to like be around the bush. He right away said it's really bad. And he said, you know, do you have anyone you can call? Like, do you have any friends that could come right now? And I was like, okay, you just told me it's bad. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
I can't just like wait for someone now. You have to tell me all the details.
Right.
Like, tell me everything. I can't wait for someone.
Oh my
gosh. Kyle was working and all my friends were, you know, in town.
You don't want to wait 15 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
And like my best friend was on a vacation. I don't even know. But, so then I just asked him like straight up, like, tell me all the details. And I said, how long do I have to live? And he said, well, it's in all your bones. It's in your liver.
Wow.
It's really bad. And I would say probably 2 years.
Whoa.
And so I was just kind of like shocked. And I mean, I think he left the room and then I cried.
Yeah.
But I didn't, I don't know. I was like, oh, what? Like, I did not expect that at all. Like, I really just kind of thought I would be like a grandma and all, you know, like
I didn't
see that coming at all. But,
yeah.
And then I was like, oh, my liver, what? You know, like I didn't even have to think about that, but clearly that was the answer why I had lots of pain, like the whole summer and stuff. So,
Jeez. So how, what, okay. So then, okay, now we got to go through Kyle's reaction, your kid's reaction.
Like, yeah.
How did that all go down?
So one of my friends, Kelly, from church, Carrie's sister, Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Eberhardt. Eberhardt.
She's great. She came, she and Carrie basically, like, took my kids right away so that they, like, had a sleepover. And, like, I didn't have my kids around when I, like, got home. It was, like, chaos. They were leaving right then.
Okay.
But Kyle got there and he was just completely shocked. Like he could not believe it basically.
Right.
And like the first day, like I got home and it was like my mom, my nephews, everybody was in my house. Everybody.
Yeah.
Pastor Brad came, like everybody was just like crying. And I was like, I don't even know. Like, it was just a really big blur. And then Kyle and I just kind of basically cried like the whole first night, I think. Like, it just seemed like a weird, like, slap in the face. I don't know. Like, reality. Like, you never, you always know that, like, at some point you're going to die, but you don't think, like, okay, well, here's your 2 years, you know, like this is what you get, you know, kind of thing. And I mean, obviously I've always, like, since the very first day, I was like, well, I'm going to shoot for 5 years, maybe 5 years I'll shoot for 10, you know, because I would really not like to have only, you know, a certain amount of months left, but at the same time, I don't want to, like, you know, overshoot it and then
have your
miss out on things that I should have done and stuff like that. And I'm like, just, I've always been like a realist kind of. And so, it's like a hard balance, like wanting to shoot for the stars, but then, you know, keep your feet on the ground kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the kids, then we told them, once they came back and I said, you know, how, remember how mom had an appointment and then they were like, yeah. And I said, well, it's the cancer is back and they were all really bummed. The first things they said were like, am I going to lose my hair? And I said, I don't know. Cause I still haven't, it's thins, but I have most of my hair, but, which I think helps. They just like look more normal,
you look
but
like mom.
But, we haven't told them like the real, like harsh truth yet.
Gotcha.
And I don't know when we will, like, how to, because I don't want them to go to school and think, like, is mom going to die when we go to school?
Right.
Because it was in August when it all happened, and then I was hospitalized for, like, I was really sick for a little while, and then we got everything figured out.
Okay.
But then, like, the first full week of school, Evan, our seven-year-old, like, couldn't go to school one day. And he was just like, I want to see a mom, like really like worked up. Like a mental health day was needed.
Sure.
And I just didn't really like think about how it was affecting, I guess, them right away. And
right.
He's always been like my kid who like feels my feelings the most. Mm. Like, he'll ask me every morning, what are you going to do today? Like, who are you going to get? Like, are you going to take a shower today, Mom? You know, like, before he goes to school. And he's just so very, like, my sensitive guy. So he had a really, like, I think they know more than I think, like, than I've told them.
Sure.
But I just don't want to freak them out too much, I guess, at this point. But
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't, how do you decipher, like, how do you discern that with your kids?
Yeah.
So we just had stopped recording for a minute, but I liked what we were talking about and wanted to share with the listeners, but talking about, like, how to be a realist with it and how, like, if I were to find out, you would just put yourself in those situations and imagine it. You just don't know, you don't ever think it's going to happen to you. But my husband and I have talked about it, and it's like, I think I'd be grounded and he'd be freaking out. And you were saying, like, your husband's kind of the...
He's more of the, like, emotional
type. Yeah. Yeah.
A little more, like it has affected him, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Which sometimes when people tell me, like, I'm praying for you, I want to be like, maybe pray for Kyle a little bit. You know, like, I'm okay right now, but Kyle could use a little bit. Because it's just been, like, I mean, I can't... Like, we just actually were talking about, like, I can't imagine if the roles were reversed and I were like, oh, so in 2 years or less, I'm going to be a single mom with four kids, you know, like, and so that's where Kyle is.
You'd be freaking out.
He's like, great, I'm going to be a single dad with four kids. And he was, told me that he was telling someone that, because our kids love Full House and Fuller House.
Yes.
And so he's like, he was telling somebody, well, it's not like my best friend and my brother-in-law are going to move in with me, like, on the Full House. And the person was like, I don't know how the show goes.
Oh my
he was
gosh.
Like, well, that's what happens. You know, like, the mom dies, and then the brother-in-law and the best friend come, and they help everybody.
Right.
You know, like, help everyone out.
Right.
And that's just, well, it's not real life. But, you know, like, it will just be, you know, all on him, like every little thing, which is just scary.
Right. So yeah, if the roles were reversed, I'd be freaking out too.
Yeah.
Like, for sure, if I were you.
It's true. Yeah.
If you find out something's going on with him. But so have you thought about, like, the BRCA gene for Allie?
Yeah, I definitely have. Like, my main, like, hope and prayer is that there will be advanced science before she's at that age, but otherwise she's definitely got to get checked at 18.
It
and my
18.
Boys too.
Okay.
I mean, she technically could before then, but then it'd be like living with
your
that, you know, forever.
Oh my gosh,
So my boys too, like, pancreatic cancer is one, that is like a higher risk and stuff like that. And so there are just like a lot of, and obviously men can get breast cancer too, which just isn't as common. But yeah, for Allie, for sure, I just don't want that.
No, and to live with it like your whole adult life and know, like, you want to get tested. It's like, do I really want to know what this, if I have it?
And I'm someone who, like, if there were some reason why I would have had been checked before, I would have. But I never had any reason to, I guess.
Right. I mean, so. It was kind of like when my aunt got cancer, nobody in the family had it.
Yeah.
She was the only one before.
Well, and since I was like 22 to 29, I was either pregnant or breastfeeding basically the entire time.
Right.
So it's not like I would have, like, gone in for a mammogram.
Right.
Or
exactly.
Anything like that. So
it's just nuts. It kind of puts you on edge a little bit because you're like, well, I'm 30. So like, it's a little, because I remember there was a girl I graduated with in high school. And I don't know, you'd probably know her, but I don't know if I should say her name on here. I don't think she listens, but her name's Kelly. Do you remember? She had breast cancer at like 24.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, it was gone pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it hasn't come back. But I was like, when that came out,
she was, I think actually 23 when she was diagnosed, like really young.
I was in shock because we were all like, just graduated college. Like, what is happening? I mean, I haven't heard anything since.
I think she's been
years.
Really healthy.
Yeah. It's been like a while, but.
Yeah.
God, did you ever reach out to her? Did she ever
I
reach
did, yeah, yeah, right away. She was one of the only people that I knew who
went through it young.
So I just kind of asked what her story was. And then after, like, that, I kind of realized as I talked to more people, like, everybody's story is so different.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, there are seven different types of breast cancer alone. And then each one, you know, you can have different, like, genetic mutations and different, sure, you know, like routes that you go with your treatment and stuff like that. So it's just never going to be the same for every person.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, it's like 30% of patients who have had breast cancer get the metastatic breast cancer. So it's you know, you just never know though. Like there's nothing that would have indicated that I would more than, you know, Sally down the road or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you just never, never know.
Have you used your story for anybody yet? Like, has anybody reached out to you about their story? Like
a few,
asking
for
advice or?
A few people have. And it was weird because actually two people who I knew, one person I didn't actually know, she was cousin of one of my friends, was diagnosed just, I want to say it was in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been. And then another girl who I graduated with from high school was diagnosed. I mean, I talked to them both within a month and they both came over to my house and I told them my whole spiel and both of them have very different, like their routes that they went and like their treatment plans and everything like that. And then it was kind of weird that I had just talked to them and then a little while later, bam, I had to do it all again, you know, kind of thing.
But, wow.
Yeah. And it's just like, both young though, you know, and one did like a mastectomy and no chemo. And the other did like a single mastectomy and radiation and that's it. No chemo, you know.
Because it's up to you how you want to handle it.
Yeah, to like a certain extent. Yeah. I definitely was just like, what would you do, you know, to my doctors and stuff? Or like, what would you recommend your sister did or wife or whatever? Like, I like when doctors give you that kind of like, this is my really strong feeling kind of thing.
Right. That's good. Because they know what they've seen work in the past or whatever.
Yeah.
But like you said, everybody has a different story. So it's hard to know too for
them. You know, I think that like at my age and with my risk factor and like with the mutation, I was like, well, I don't want these at all. Like cut them off.
Yeah.
Can we do it? When do we do it? You know, and I mean, I didn't even realize that it could come back, you know,
even like, if it's
obvious, even if like you get them literally removed, you can still like have like a 10% chance, like, but there's enough, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
That is. So how are you feeling like today? Like, what does your body feel like?
I do have like a lot of pain. I have like mostly back pain. And it really just kind of depends on how much I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like some, like a certain amount is good, but then too much is bad.
Right.
And,
right.
I'm really tired most of the time. And just, I mean, I'm like kind of used to it though. Like, and I'm on like pain meds and stuff like that, of course, but, I mean, I feel like generally okay.
Yeah.
Like I can do stuff and like in the very beginning before I had like my pain medication regulated, I was like using a walker to go to the bathroom. Like,
oh man,
it was just
hurts.
Like really bad. Like walking up my stairs was awful. I like asked my father-in-law to put in railings in my house and stuff like that because my bedroom's on the main floor, but like getting up to like the shower and stuff like that was like nearly impossible.
Right.
Cause I wasn't just so much pain at first, but, once it all just kind of like hit me and then I was off all the meds that I had been on, it was just like a lot of pain, but now it's just very regulated. So that's, it's good. You know,
it's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Positive side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any homeopathic stuff at first at all?
Not really. There wasn't really a whole lot of time to, honestly.
Yeah.
And like everybody and their mom has been like, have you tried marijuana? And I, thankfully, like my best friend comes with me to like a lot of my appointments, almost all of them, but she asked my pain management doctor because I, like at first I was very anti-opioids.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you just hear like opioid crisis and stuff like that.
Right.
Just, it sounds bad, but it's just like the type of thing where when you need it, it doesn't, like, it makes you feel normal, not crazy and high and stuff. You know, like, I feel, like, more like a normal human rather than tons of pain. But Anna asked my pain doctor about it, and it's hard because it's not federally legal.
Mm.
So that would be one thing. Like, if I were to go to, you know, on a weekend jaunt to Wisconsin, like, I could get in trouble, you know. And
That's funny.
And then I would have to wean off all of the opioid. Like it would just be, it would be a process, but she was like, you know, if you feel like you want to change things up, let me know. And so if,
I mean, it's supportive.
Yeah. It's definitely an option. If I feel like what I'm doing now isn't working, then I can switch.
You're open
it
to whatever.
Yeah. I'm not like, I got over really quick, like all of the thoughts that I had in my head, like the preconceived notions, mm-hmm. like about drugs and stuff, because it's just like people who ruin it for the people who are sick, you know, it's mm-hmm. just a real big bummer that happens.
Exactly.
But so, I mean, and in the beginning it was like, Anna got me like a handicap license, you know, like thing for like in my car. Like if I'm like real, if I, you know, go to the mall and I walk around too much, I really might need it. You know, like I've like seen people when I've been parked and
I've
been like,
walking.
Hey guys, you know, like, I swear I need this today. You know, days I don't, some days I do.
That's so funny. Well, I'm one of the judge. 100%. I'm like, they're not in a wheelchair.
Yeah. What are you doing?
But it's not my place to judge people.
They have bone cancer in their bones and they feel like
they can't walk. Yeah, exactly. They just feel nasty.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. So I know you guys are a family of faith. Have you always been, or is this like is it become more so over the years?
Well, I have said that I'm a recovering Catholic.
Okay.
So it took like me personally, like pretty much like more to adulthood to figure out what my actual faith was myself.
That's cool.
I remember, you know, cause I went to Catholic schools and I remember being able to pinpoint what I didn't agree with in the Catholic faith. And I'm just a person who's very like open and accepting to everybody. And so there were a lot of things where I was like, why can't this nun be a priest?
Yeah.
And things like that, you know, or it was confusing to me. But with this whole thing, I like have felt very connected to God. Like I don't feel, I know that a lot of people have told me that they're mad at God, like especially in the beginning, like that this happened, and I haven't had that, and I still keep thinking maybe I will. I don't know. It's still pretty new, honestly, but I haven't felt like, why did you do this to me? I've thought, you know, like, why is this happening? But not like he chose it for any reason. And I've had many people tell me he didn't choose this. But one thing that Pastor Aaron told me that was really helpful was that my faith right now doesn't have to be strong because I'm being lifted by so many other people's faith. So if I have a day where I'm not feeling, you know, like real tight with him, that I can be like, well, I'm okay. I have a lot of other people praying for me and stuff like that. But I think that that's like one thing that can be kind of hard, like with our kids.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot more questions are asked because like, why did God let this happen? You know, and it's just like a, like, why didn't the murderers and rapists get cancer, you know, in like a 2-year life sentence, you know, why did someone who's so great like me like get this, you know, and that's like just such a hard thing for them to understand. And I just tell them, I don't understand it either. And like that, we just have to keep praying that there will be a miracle and maybe all the cancer will go away. And I don't know. They just, I think that's just the hardest part for me is like with my kids. And explaining that. But luckily they have so much fun at church most of the time that they're like, they know that they're loved.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Just by so many adults and people in the community too. But, and I think it's a little confusing for them that like, you know, we've had like people bring us food so much and like, why do we get things in the mail with, you know, tickets to Nickelodeon Universe and things like that. And it's
so
like,
cool.
I mean, and it's, and I just say, you know, because people love us, you know, and that's, I mean, one way that we can see God is through all these people helping and wanting
That's enough too, is for your kids to see that.
Yeah. And
it's God's blessings.
Yeah. And so I think that that's one thing that when, you know, in my like in between time, I tried to do like meal trains and stuff like that for other people.
Yeah.
So that my kids could see that. And now it's like the roles are reversed again, but hopefully it'll be
But now you know what it's like to get those.
Yeah.
That's probably why you did it too. Yeah. Like, now I get
why we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, and I don't know. Hopefully there will be just like empathy and mm-hmm. other like, you know, just characteristics that my kids will get from this kind of
sure.
childhood. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. So, okay. So in good news, mm-hmm. can you share about what you heard the other day? That's like a little bit all about it. I don't understand it completely.
Okay. So I had a PET scan
yeah.
the other day. So I've been doing chemo since my diagnosis. And so I've done 3 rounds and okay. they have been working.
Okay.
So they've been shrinking the tumors. There's no new tumors.
Yay.
And,
wow.
Yeah. So that's really good news.
So it's not spreading.
It's not spreading. And it's,
wow.
Yeah. So that's one thing that my doctor kind of said that it'll come to remission is what he called it, mm-hmm. but it's not really like it's going to go away, but it'll get smaller and then it'll get bigger probably. And that's when we'll try to, change it up and do a different route of treatment and stuff like that. Okay. But he was really excited and positive. And so
that helps.
Yeah.
So, that's like, gives you a little bit of hope. Like,
yeah. And he's a really great doctor. He just always makes me feel kind of like, pretty much all my doctors like have that way of connecting with me where I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm their thing they're thinking about today.
Good. Bedside manner, right?
Yeah. Like that makes me feel like cared for and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I have one question that I keep forgetting to ask you, and it's so off topic basically, but has your demeanor changed at all through all of this? Like as a mom or as a wife, like have you calmed down? Like, I don't know what your personality always is, but.
Yeah, I think I, for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure. I think that I had a lot more OCD, like anal retention. Yeah. Like before. And I think that I can just take a lot more rolls off my back kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm having like a bad day, you know, if I go on like Facebook or something and I see someone complaining about something, I'm like, okay, let that one roll off too, because like, you know, perspective is such a important thing. Like I have to remember, okay, this is their perspective. Like the hardest thing in their life is X, Y, Z. And so let that be. But you know, like, I think that with my kids, like when they're, like the other day I realized, you know, my boys just like to wrestle.
Yeah.
I just got to let it go sometimes. Yeah. I just have to wrestle.
Right.
If they knock over the Christmas tree, then I'll probably get annoyed. But, you know, like there's just a lot more that I just let go. And I mean, thankfully, Kyle cleans up a lot more and stuff like that. But even with the house, I
let things go.
Maybe more. But
yeah.
Right away, like the first day that I was diagnosed, I was like, I never want to do laundry again. I don't want to wash dishes. I just want to stare at my kids and like count their like freckles on their noses and things like that. Yeah, you know, like I just want to like live a different like purpose, you know. And
right. Because I'm sure you've learned a lot of life lessons through all this.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that is kind of hard some days. Like I want to make every day count.
Yeah.
But then some days I'll have a day where I can't really do much other than sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and so I have to like take the good with the bad and just like everybody's life, you know, it's just that's the way it is. But I have to like give myself grace a lot more than I did before, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I was very much like, do it all my way. You know, like this is how I want it. This is how I like it.
Yeah.
And now I'm a little more like, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone wants to come over and help me fold my laundry, well, I don't care how they fold it.
Right.
You know, you can fold your towels however, you know, like fold my towels however you fold your towels. That's fine. Yeah. And that's
a good thing though.
Yeah, that's not how I was before, but it is good, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm just.
Man, there's been a resounding theme in all my episodes about control.
Oh.
And like every single one of us has talked about our control issues. Yours was prior to the, to your diagnosis and like just perspective change. And it's cool to see that like, maybe that's what the theme is right now for this season is like, we're just, everybody's dealing with control issues and like,
and well, I
giving up.
Yeah. I definitely, the first time I had cancer, I remember like having a conversation with God and saying, you know, I know I'm not in control. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you are. If you could just, like, throw me a bone every so often and let me think I'm in control, that'd be great. But that's I know awesome. That I'm not. But, and now even more so, you know, like,
right.
I just, mm-hmm. because I think last time it was like, okay, here's the plan of attack. You know, we're going to do chemo, you know, like that kind of thing. And now mm-hmm. it's like, well, we'll do this chemo for this long and then we'll see how it works. Yeah. And I have no control over it whatsoever. Like,
your body's going to do what your body wants to do.
Yeah. And yeah. I have no way of, I mean, it's not like I could, you know, start eating ketogenic and then that would help it. You know, right. like there's just no way to, I couldn't make cut out sugar away. And then suddenly I'd have no cancer, right. you know? And yeah. so I think that's just in general, I think it's good to know that we're not in control.
No.
And just try to live our lives the best way we can.
I like that.
Yeah.
So if you had, my last question, if you had a saying you want on your mirror every day, what would it be? Like a phrase or a reminder every day.
A reminder.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Take your time. I can cut out some of this.
That's a hard one.
I know. People have some pretty cool ones when they actually think about it. But like mine would just be intentional. That's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional.
Honestly, probably. Maybe I'll just copy Elsa.
Let it go.
I think that's one thing that I just, honestly, yeah. a lot of stuff, I just let it go.
So has your, okay, so I have one more question. Has your marriage gotten stronger, you think? Because like, so for me, when I have control problems, it causes issues in my marriage mm-hmm. because I want to control every little thing that happens mm-hmm. and that's where everything kind of blows up. Is that, I know it's probably with OCD before. It's mm-hmm. like you wanted things your way.
Mm-hmm.
Has it gotten better then with like your
marriage? I think that our marriage has just changed a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, we've always been really good friends.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's one thing that's really lucky. But, I think that, I mean, I think it's kind of hard that Kyle kind of has to be like my caretaker now a mm-hmm. little more like,
sure.
You know, Sunday nights, he has to, he doesn't have to, but he does go through like my pill box, you know,
yeah,
like do so all sweet. My pharmacist, you know, yeah. kind of thing. But like that kind of stuff is, I mean, I've always appreciated him, but I think that like I try mm-hmm. to tell him that I appreciate him more and stuff yeah. like that. But I mean, we still have days where we drive each other crazy,
yeah.
you know,
it's not
and
gonna
that's
go away.
Just, I think that it's just hard because it's one of those like, he doesn't want me to be sick, you know?
Yeah,
so
of
it's
course.
Like,
yeah.
how do you like have a normal relationship
right.
then, you know?
Yeah.
It's just different. Well, I don't know.
You both have so much going on in your head
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of frustration and a lot of anger and a lot of sadness. And oh my gosh, it's like,
yeah.
it all can't come out at each other, you
yeah.
know?
And he's had to do like, I was literally, I mean, not to like discount what he did before, mm-hmm. but I mean, before I had cancer the first time I was doing everything, you
yeah.
know, and so
because you're a stay-at-home mom,
yeah,
you work,
I mean, that's what
you know,
you, know,
yeah,
you did,
you
but
yeah,
so now he has to do a whole lot more than he's ever had mm. to, so I think that's hard, you know, like he also works and then
yeah,
he has to do a whole lot more parenting, and I think that's just like, I mean, I wonder what he would write on his mirror.
I know, right?
You know, like, oh, calm down.
Keep going.
I don't know.
Keep trucking.
Just keep spinning.
Just keep swimming.
We should just
door.
Do a Disney movie theme.
I love that.
Let it go and keep swimming.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you came on. This is
yeah,
like.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's been so good. And we're praying for you and
thank
your family.
You.
And I know you hear that all the time, but it's true.
Yeah.
A lot of people are praying for you.
I know it. I feel it.
It's fun to be kept up on Facebook too, to like see what's your,
mm-hmm.
what your wins are, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's positive. And so anyways, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed today's episode, it would mean a lot to me if you would like, comment, share, or subscribe. Also, please send me people who you think should share their story with the world. Thanks for tuning in.